right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And as we've got a new Noel album out currently, I thought we would look back to the first album that Noel was involved with, which was, of course, Oasis Definitely Maybe. But today I wanted to do something slightly different. As a movie geek, I'm a big fan of breakdown videos where people look into all the references and Easter eggs that you find in movies and TV and things like that. And so I thought we would look back at Definitely Maybe and just try and pick out all the little references, nods, etc. that are built into the album. And if you guys like this, then I'll carry on. We'll do the B-sides from the album and we'll go on to the later albums as well, because there's so many little references throughout Oasis work to TV shows or other musicians or famous people that if you don't particularly get, unless you sort of happen to grow up with the band and sort of understanding a lot of those references. So I thought it'd just be worth going through. And so I hope you guys enjoy this. Let me know if you do. And if you do, we will carry on and do, as I said, the B-sides and the other albums as well. So to start off with, let's look at the album cover. Now, this was obviously designed by Brian Cannon and photographed by Michael Spencer-Jones, and it was taken in Bonehead's front room in Manchester, and it incorporates various references that held personal significance to the band members. So let's take a closer look at a few of the items. So there's a wine glass there, but it's actually got Ribena in it. Contrary to the popular myth, the wine glass on the album cover actually contains Ribena, not wine. The choice of Ribena instead of wine was a photographic technique suggested by Michael Spencer-Jones, because apparently when photographing red wine, diluted Ribena is often used to achieve the desired colour, as wine often appears black. There was a number of personal objects included on the album cover. For instance, Bonehead bought his pink flamingo. There was a photo of Rodney Marsh, who was a personal icon for Liam, Noel and Gwiggs, who were the Man City fans. And not just was he a City player, but he was also known as a bit of a lad, a bit of a drinker. As well as a footballer who was a bit of a drinker, we have a picture of George Best, suggested by Bonehead, who was the Man United supporter. And despite the rest of the band being City fans, they were happy to include the picture of George Best, understanding his transcendent status that goes beyond football. When I saw you, you looked like a diamond, as you played in the dust and the grime. Just a boy from the country of Ireland, and I knew I could make you shine. Cause you move like a downtown dancer, with your hair hung down like a mane, and your feet playing tricks like a juggler, as you weave to the sound of your name. Georgie, Georgie, they call you the Belfast boy. Georgie, Georgie, they call you the Belfast boy. They say, Georgie, Georgie, keep your feet on the ground. Georgie, Georgie, when you listen to the sound. Georgie, Georgie, put a light on your name. Hey, hey, hey. Play the game. Play the game, boy. In the bottom left-hand corner, we have the picture of Burt Bacharach, renowned songwriter and composer. This was really for Noel Gallagher. And I think the key thing here was that it showed Noel as a songwriter and not just like an indie guitar player from an indie band. So I think that was a really important thing to have on the album. Yes, I'm in love. And what I do to make you mine, tell me now, is it so? Don't let me breathe the last to know my hands are shaking. Don't let my heart keep breaking, cause I need your love. We have The Good, the Bad and the Ugly is playing on TV. That's a classic Western directed by Sergio Leone, and it holds personal significance to Noel as it's one of his favourite films. These references, the wine glass, the personal objects, the football-related things, Burt Bacharach, it all collectively creates a visually captivating album cover that reflects the personal interests, influences and passions of Oasis. The collaboration between Cannon's design and Spencer Jones's photography encapsulates the essence of the band and adds depth and authenticity to the overall artwork. Also, the way that they're actually laid out, I find it quite interesting. You've got Liam laying down on the front on the floor there, which is it's just great for the composition, but it's also a little bit surreal and interesting. So yeah, fantastic album cover. Right, let's get on to the first track, which is Rock and Roll Star. What did Noel say about it? He said, the words and the sentiment to that song, that's what it's all about. I remember bringing it down to the lads in the rehearsal studio and rehearsing it until the first time we played it live. There was a hush after it, and it wasn't the hush of people acting bewildered. It was, what was that all about, in silenced awe. No one had ever said it in a song before. Tonight, I'm a rock and roll star. There's six people watching you, right? You're anything but a rock and roll star. But in your brain, you are a rock and roll star. When you hear that song by chance on the radio or whatever, I just think, do you know what, man? It's still got it for me. It's wide-eyed and wonderful. So yeah, first off, I think the title there, Rock and Roll Star, makes me think of two songs. Star by David Bowie, which uses that phrase rock and roll star multiple times, plus the Rolling Stones, It's Only Rock and Roll, but I like it. If we just go through some of the lines in the song, I live my life in the city, there's no easy way out. Now, In the City could be a reference to In the City by The Jam. That was their debut single. So it would be a nice touch if on the first line of the first track of an Oasis album, they were referencing the first Jam single. There's No Easy Way Out there. That could be a reference to the song by Robert Tepper from the Rocky IV soundtrack, but I doubt it. The day's moving just too fast for me, and I need some time in the sunshine. Well, this is the first time we'd hear Liam's elongated sunshine on an album, something that would be used a number of times, I suppose, once they figured out that it was such an interesting way that Liam would deliver that particular line. Later in the song, they mention, then they said I should feed my head. Feed my head could be a reference to the line in White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. Although I think it's more likely just a dig at parents and other parental style figures who encouraged Noel to study rather than focus on music. And then with That To Me Was Just A Day In Bed, it really shows what he thinks of that as an option. He then says, I'll take my car and drive real far, which is obviously about getting away from it, getting away from the city, and similar to like a Bruce Springsteen song where he often talks about getting away, although it's more on a motorbike than a car. Although this is ironic because Noel couldn't drive at the time and he still can't drive, but it does conjure up that getting away from the current surroundings. The song finishes with that line, it's just rock and roll, repeated over and over again. And once again, this feels like a nod to me to the Rolling Stones song, It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It, which repeats that over and over again. I've always thought it was interesting that they talk about rock and roll rather than just rock or indie. They're always very clear to say, oh, it's rock and roll. Whereas I think at the time, like rock and roll felt to me more like Jerry Lee Lewis or Elvis. You know, that was rock and roll. what Oasis was playing was more rock or indie. But yeah, by this focus on No Man, it's rock and roll. I thought it was quite interesting. And I would say it's most likely back to this Rolling Stone song. On to track two then, Shaker Maker. Now this is one with a number of specific references. First off, the title, which was referencing a toy from the 1970s, and it also then plays in with the Shake Along With Me reference, Shaker Maker. It could also be talking about like maracas or a tambourine. When he sings Shake Along With Me, is he talking about Liam shaking the tambourine or maybe Bez shaking the maracas from the Happy Mondays? Could be. Obviously, the main reference lyrically and musically in this song is the New Seekers, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, or more realistically, given Noel watched a lot of adverts, is the Coca-Cola advert version of the song, where they would sing I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in perfect harmony. Oasis, when they first started doing the song, would actually sing I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in perfect harmony. Then they did have to change the song later and came up with I'd like to be somebody else, but not now where I be. But interestingly, they would still sing the original lyrics live. And then also on a number of bootlegs, it included a little, but now we all drink Pepsi, which was good fun.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing, sing with me.
Perfect harmony, perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world a home and keep it company.
There's a mention here, I'd like to build myself a house out of plasticine. If you're not aware, plasticine is a type of modelling clay, which was a very popular over here, sort of a more adult version of Play-Doh. And it was famously used for the character Morph, which was a huge character in the 70s and 80s in the UK. I've been driving in my car with my friend Mr. Soft. Once again, Noel is lying here as he can't drive. Mr. Soft is a reference to the song Mr. Soft by Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel. But more specifically, once again, it's an advert. It's the TV advert for Tribor Soft Mints.
Mr. Soft, won't you tell me why the world in which you're living is so strange? Oh, Mr. Soft, how come everything around you is so soft and rearranged?
Bite through the shell of a Tribor Spearmint Soft Mint and everything turns chewy and soft. They're crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside.
And also, I think this song just has that lazy feel that kind of conjures up that Tribor Soft Mints advert and that original song by Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel. He mentions then Mr. Clean and Mr. Ben are living in my loft. Mr. Clean, I imagine, is a reference to the song by The Jam. And Mr. Ben is a reference to a British cartoon character. That main line, Shake Along With Me, as I said, could it be just a reference to like the tambourine or Bez with the maracas? I suppose there's a number of songs that talked about shake, like the Hippie Hippie Shake or Shake by Otis Redding. Could be something like that. The middle eight of the song has the line, "When you're happy and you're feeling fine," could be a reference to "I Feel Fine" by the Beatles. There's also "Then You'll Know That It's the Right Time." That could be "The Night Time is the Right Time," which was a song written by Nappy Brown and was covered by Ray Charles. And then we get into the last verse, which is "Mr. Sifter sold me songs when I was just 16. Now he stops at traffic lights, but only when they're green." Now, this was written in a taxi on the way to the recording studio. Liam Gallagher was pestering Noel to finish the song. At this point, the taxi stopped at the traffic lights outside Sifter's, which is the record shop in Burnage, just around the corner from their family home. Noel penned the lyric and it became part of the song. Both brothers used to call into the record shop when they were kids to buy old records. And yes, if you go to Sifter's today, then Pete is still the manager there. So it's always he's always up for a chat as well. Lovely guy. Next up, we have "Live Forever." Noel said the title is a reference to the fact that Nirvana had written a song called "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die." He said, "I remember Nirvana had a tune called I Hate Myself and Want to Die. I was like, well, I'm not fucking having that. As much as I fucking like Cobain and all that shit, I'm not having that. Kids don't need to be hearing that nonsense. Seems to me there was a guy who had everything and was miserable about it." Now, I very much doubt this is the case, seeing as that song wasn't released until November 1993. And Noel had started writing Live Forever in 1991. And he'd finished it by January 93, as they'd played it at the Boardwalk on January the 5th. So how could he be referencing a song he'd never heard before? Maybe he's more just thinking that by the time it came out, or just generally the fact that Kurt Cobain was a bit miserable. So I don't know, but it couldn't have been there in the writing of the song, that's for sure. Compositionally, the main inspirations for the song are Neil Young and the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones, specifically the song "Shine a Light," which has a very, very clear reference in the melody. Lyrically, I don't think there's any specific references in here, like similar to Shaker Maker, but when he sings "How Your Garden Grows," that feels like a reference to me to the nursery rhyme, "Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow?" The meaning is all about not being happy with the quiet life and just being around at home, and the metaphor of gardening works well in that regard. Specifically, I think we're referencing here to Peggy's garden at home and Noel walking around the garden and thinking about wanting to get out and do something else with his life. Next up, we have "Up in the Sky." In terms of overall meaning, Noel said, "We were on the dole at the time under conservative rule. It's about establishment figures who didn't have a clue about how people were really living in England at the time and what they'd done to the country." It's quite an angry song lyrically to a happy tune. He also said, "It's basically about people who think they're the voice of a generation or the figurehead of a movement. It's just saying, why are you lot down here looking up at him? The band is about the music. It's about the songs. It's not about us. I wouldn't ever make a political speech, and I'd sack anyone in a band who started doing that. We are overtly political once every 5 years when we all go out and vote Labour, but then we turn around and go back to being a band again." The main inspiration, I think, here, especially for the first two words, is "Hey You" by Pink Floyd. Noel had also used "Hey You" in his early demo song called "Hey You." So I think that's just a little phrase that he liked from the Pink Floyd song, and he would use it as sort of a starting point for the song here.
Hey you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me?
Hey you, if you're out there in the cold, or maybe if you're feeling old, don't be ashamed.
Lyrically, I think this is probably a stretch, but it could be a reference to Icarus, who flew too close to the sun before falling when the sun melted the wax in his wings. You never know, maybe Noel is quoting Greek myth, who knows? when he mentions up in the tree, that could be a reference to Strawberry Fields Forever. No one, I think, is in my tree. How does it feel? That could be a reference to a few things. There is a Slade single called How Does It Feel? And we know that Noel loves Slade. Plus The Creation had a song called How Does It Feel? The 60s band that Alan McGee named the record label after. Ride had covered that song, although that didn't come out until June 1994. But they may have been aware of it because they were stablemates at the time.
How does it feel running around, round, round? How does it feel watching from upside down?
When he mentions breathing out before you're breathing in, that could be another Pink Floyd reference, as they've obviously got the song Breathe from Dark Side of the Moon. On to Columbia. Now, there's a number of fun references here. Now, the title refers to the Columbia Hotel, hence the spelling with U, not like O, like the country. Noel said here, one Saturday afternoon, I was at home watching EastEnders when our kid rings up and says, "You're coming down for a jam." I'd never played with anyone else ever. I went, "All right, I'm asking, do you know any Beatles songs?" "No, not Ticket to Ride." We sit there for hours and hours, dead hot and sweaty, and it's great. Same the next Sunday. And just because they didn't know any Beatles, really, we decided to write our song ourselves, and I came up with what turns out to be Columbia. Now, we can pick this apart a little bit. We know he had jammed with other people before, as we'd know he'd been in the band Fantasy Chicken and the Amateurs. I actually interviewed the singer from Molly Halfhead and also a member of that band, Paul Bardsley. So if you want to check that out, we digged into that a little bit more. Also, did Noel come up with that, or did they come up with that together? I think the accepted story is that the band pre-Noel had been jamming out those chords, but who knows. Noel also said, when we started, we didn't have a lot of songs, so we would jam out current acid house favourites and fuck about. Columbia derived from one of those nights. It was an instrumental, and we played it the first night I ever did a gig with Oasis. When we started at the Real People studio, somebody had the idea of adding lyrics, and it's still a bone of contention to this day who actually wrote the words. We were all on acid at the time, but I know I wrote 90% of them. Okay, Noel. It's named in honour of the hotel in London, because when I was a roadie with Mark Coyle working for the Inspiral Carpets, we loved that hotel. It was a scene of many nights of nonsense, and it sounded like a good title. I mean, why call anything anything? So the acid house song he's referring to there is most likely Tortuga by Axe Corner, which is extremely similar. Let's give it a listen. Now that point regarding the lyrics, I mean, most people have pointed out that it was actually Liam that came up with lyrics alongside the Real People and that recording session. But, you know, who knows? In terms of the lyrics themselves, there are no sort of specific references to anything, I don't believe. But there are some interesting things in the recording here. Now, there are three samples in this song. First off, we have a spoken word section at the start. Let's check it out. Now, we believe the words here are, "I've sinned so much to disgust, mother. Take me into your arms. How am I to protect you?" Now, as far as I'm aware, no one has sort of tracked down what this is or what it's from. So I don't know what it is. If you can figure it out, then do please let me know. Also, we have a Hare Krishna style chant on the outro. That hey ya na hey ya ya. Now, I interviewed Chris Griffiths from The Real People, and I asked him about both these samples, and he just didn't know. He just thought they were on CDs that he had kicking around in the office, and he didn't know what they were. I sort of said, do you think he could find them? And he just said, no chance. He's got thousands and thousands of CDs. He wouldn't have a prayer of being able to find them. Needle in a haystack stuff. So we'll probably never know, to be honest. Also, we have a sample from around 4 minutes to about 4:24. We hear a male voice saying, take away the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. Now, this is from the Bible book of Amos. That line is then looped, over which is layered another sample of the same voice reading, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Now, this is from the same book of the Bible, and it is a recording of Tony Benn, the Labour MP who's now no longer with us. Now, this is thought to have been broadcast on BBC Radio 3 at around 6:50 in the morning on the 27th of February 1993 and added to the track whilst Oasis were recording it at the Real People studio.
Take away the noise of your song. Take away the melody of your heart. Take away the melody of your heart.
I always found it interesting that from that first ever sort of recording, the white label demo, there's multiple samples and interesting stuff going on, and it was something that they hardly ever did for the rest of their whole careers, but there you go. Right, next up we have Supersonic, the debut single of the band. Now, the writing and recording of this has been covered extensively and discussed in the Supersonic film and various other places, as the band were trying and failing to record Bring It On Down as a single and I Will Believe as the B-side. So instead, Noel decided to write a brand new song and came up with Supersonic in the time it took the band to eat a Chinese takeaway. Ironically, the first lines, I need to be myself, I can be no one else, are a direct contradiction of the first lines of the second single, Shaker Maker, I'd like to be somebody else and not now where I've been. Now, what did Noel say about it? He said, I write the first line and the end word, supersonic. It's like, well, what rhymes with that? You start off with A, you go atomic, bionic, then you go gin and tonic. All right, that'll do. It's no big deal. You just write it down and people go, wow, feeling supersonic, give me gin and tonic. Wow, basically, because it rhymes. So gin and tonic is an alcoholic drink, gin mixed with tonic water. In the last few years, gin's become like far more fashionable than I remember it being in the past, with multiple fancy types of gin now available and specific gin bars opening all over the country. Did I miss a meeting? When did that become the fashionable drink? Anyway, whatever. He mentions later BMW. Can I ride with you in my BMW? Now, BMW is the famous luxury car. Stands for Bavarian Motor Works, and it's seen as in the UK as a status symbol if you drive a BMW. This is interestingly paired with a yellow submarine. Can you sail with me in my yellow submarine? Which is obviously a reference to the Beatles song and film. And I think that's a lovely contrast because he's saying, I could ride with you in your BMW, you can sail with me in my yellow submarine. So in reality, he's not going to have a BMW. But, you know, you can pretend. Let's pretend we've got a yellow submarine. We're more likely to sit around and listen to Beatles songs than actually drive in a proper expensive car. It it mentions in the chorus a waterfall. Now, that could be a reference to the Stone Roses song Waterfall. And also then there nobody could see him, nobody could ever hear him call. Maybe Hear Him Call is a reference to I Call Your Name by the Beatles. Could be. Then we get into the next verse. I know a girl called Elsa. She's into Alka-Seltzer. The girl called Elsa was actually a dog. The dog owned by the studio engineer Dave Scott, who was in the studio at the time. And Alka-Seltzer, if you didn't know, is a headache tablet. You dissolve it in water, commonly used to treat hangovers. And a big advert at the time was Plink Plink Fizz, which was would obviously anyone that grew up watching TV in the 80s and 90s would know of that Alka-Seltzer advert.
Celebrate with a drop of bubbly, sprinkling of peanuts, some smoky bacon crisps, a pint of lager, tandoori chicken, top up with lager, lime, pickles, a couple of poppadoms, two coffees, a couple of brandies, and give it a whirl. It's your body's way of telling you you could use Alka-Seltzer. Original Alka-Seltzer, all lemon flavor, specially made for fast relief from headaches with upset stomach. Put a little Plink Plink Fizz in your life.
They mention then sniffs it through a cane on a supersonic train. Obviously, sniffing something is a reference to sniffing cocaine. And it's ironic here. I think you're talking about sniffing Alka-Seltzer because Alka-Seltzer is known to cure hangovers. And yet you're sniffing it like cocaine to get you high, which I think is quite a funny juxtaposition. Done it with a doctor. Now, done it is a euphemism for having sex, if you weren't aware. Done it with a doctor on a helicopter. I don't think that means much other than just, you know, it's a nice rhyme. Or maybe he was thinking of the TV show Airwolf that was probably still on in 1994. Sniffing in a tissue. I suppose if you're taking a bunch of cocaine, then you're probably going to have a lot of sniffing going on. Selling the Big Issue is a reference to the Big Issue publication, which is sold by homeless people, founded in 1991. So if the character in the song is selling the Big Issue, then it means they're homeless. So yeah, lots of fun references in that song, probably just because he was making stuff up as he went along. And often when that tends to be where these little fun references come from. Next up, we have Bring It On Down. Now, this is one of their more overtly political songs, but once again has some very interesting kind of images and ideas, which we'll dig into. What did Noel say about it? He mentioned that it's about the uninvited guest who turns up at parties and nobody likes, but everybody knows who stays till the end. He also said, "We smashed it when we used to play it live. I love the guitar solo and the drop down in the middle. Alan McGee obsessed over the line about being the underclass and wanted that to be the first single. For my part, all those songs that have a political undercurrent are real because I was just writing them from the heart. I don't sit down and think politics, let's get to the bones of this shit. But at that point, I was unemployed in rented accommodation, trying to make it in the world, living from one week to the next, not knowing if you're going to have enough money for a pizza. You're in a political situation, even if you don't realise it, because that is the battleground. That is the essence of politics, accommodation, food, and trying to make a living." So if we look at some specific lyrics, when he says today was just a blur, well, could that be a reference to the band Blur? Possibly if it came out sort of a year or so later, I'd say that was potentially the case. But this feels unlikely, because at the time of this song being written or recorded, there was no sort of issue or anything with Blur at the time. So, yes, they're a big band in the early 90s, but I don't think that Noel would have been thinking about Blur when he wrote this song. There's the line there, "You've got a head like a ghost train," which I think is a fantastic rhyme and a brilliant image. It could actually be a reference to a Madness song. There is a Madness song called Waiting for the Ghost Train, but I don't think so. I think it's just a fun and surreal rhyme and image. Another brilliant sort of surreal metaphor is "your head's in a fish tank." I don't think there's any sort of song or anything called Fish Tank, or there's no Beatles songs that reference fish tanks as far as I'm aware. So I think that is just a nice surreal rhyme. Or maybe he was, you know, looking at a fish tank when he wrote it. Seems like the sort of thing Noel would do. Next up, we have Cigarettes and Alcohol. And obviously the big reference in the music is the riff from Get It On, Bang A Gong by T-Rex. What did Noel say? He said, "Let's Have It" was the main ethos. All the songs were about leaving Manchester and ending up in the sunshine, taking drugs and drinking for the rest of your life. Rock and roll star, live forever, cigarettes and alcohol. It's all about escapism, pint in one hand, your best mate in the other, and just having a good time. When he says you can wait for a lifetime to live your days in the sunshine, I think what he's referring to there is working all your life and then retiring and either traveling, actually, you know, retiring to Spain, which a lot of British people do. But metaphorically, it could just be to able to sort of live happily. You might as well do the white line is obviously a direct reference to taking cocaine. Now, official lyric here is when it comes on top, you got to make it happen. I always thought it was when it comes on tour, you got to make it happen. You got to like take cocaine when you go on tour. But anyway, apparently it is when it comes on top, you got to make it happen. There is the very, very famous line here. Is it worth the aggravation to find yourself a job when there's nothing worth working for? Now, Noel knows all about getting aggravation on a job. I mean, I don't think he did worked jobs for a particularly long time, but he does love to talk about the fact that he did work on a building site. He ended up injuring his foot when a heavy cap from a steel gas pipe landed on his right foot. And as we famously know, he ended up working in the office rather than on the site, which gave him loads of time to play his guitar. Other than that, though, no overt references in the lyrics, I don't believe. Let me know if you think of any. Digsy's Dinner next. Famously, Digsy is Pete Digsy Deary. I've interviewed him on the Oasis podcast, so do go and check that out. He has explained that the song came from the fact they'd been messing around, jamming, with Digsy singing, "Guess what I had for my tea? It was lasagna." Noel already had the bones of a song, and he then adapted that to include the mention of lasagna and then named it after Digsy in tribute.
And Noel never had the title for it.
Yeah.
And we were down at the Real People studio one night and we were all just jamming and I farted. And I'm singing on the mic, "Guess what I had for me tea? It was lasagna, lasagna." And he's playing away on the drums laughing his head off. And then the next day he phoned and said, "What was that? Were you singing last night?" I said, "Oh, I don't know. Just made it up on the spot." He went, "Well, I've got a song." He said, "So I'm going to call it Digsy's Dinner."
McGee, interestingly, said, "I think it was a piss take of Blur. I don't think Noel's ever admitted to that. It was a piss take of that Britpop thing. It was Noel proving that he could do that in his sleep." I think that's interesting. I don't necessarily think that was the case. Once again, Blur at the time would have just done sort of Modern Life is Rubbish. So I doubt that that really would have been something he'd been too bothered about. There wasn't really a Britpop thing at the time, you know, when they were recording this. So not sure that was the case. When he mentions "come to mind" for tea, there's a double meaning in the term tea. Because if you don't know, tea is up north in the UK, tea means evening meal. Whereas down south, evening meal we would call dinner. Whereas up north, dinner is what you would call lunch. So obviously, and you get the double meaning of "come to mind for tea" as in "have a cup of tea." But it's more likely it means "come to mind for tea" as in "have an evening meal tea." So hence, you know, you're coming round to have lasagna. 3:30 is an interesting time to choose as well, because that's the typical after school time. So it plays on that sort of childhood thing. "Come to mine at 3:30 after school." "Go green," he mentions, "your friends will all go green." Go green with jealousy. If people don't realise, going green with jealousy, that's what that means. "Strawberries and cream" is a great thing to mention as well, because it's a very British dish, primarily as being known as the main food that people would have at Wimbledon. The Wimbledon Tennis Championships. Now, the biggest lyrical lift, I think, here is These Could Be the Best Days of Our Lives, which I feel is very, very close to the Wonder Stuff, The Size of a Cow. These could be the best days of our lives. Life is not what I thought it was. So it's basically very, very similar. And that was a hit in 1991, so they would have been well aware of that. Okay, on to Slide Away. Slide Away, the title may be a reference to The Verve. They had a song called Slide Away, which was released as a single in September 1993. But just for today. While recording the debut album, Oasis only owned two guitars. Noel had asked Johnny Marr to lend him some of his, and he sent them a Les Paul he had acquired from Pete Townsend. Now, the first song Noel wrote on this was Slide Away. The song was written about Louise Jones, who Noel had been together with on and off for about 6 years. He has described her as his soulmate at the time. What did Noel say about it? He said, Slide Away is the unsung hero on that album. Round about that time, that was everybody's fucking tune, everybody's bird. Again, it's about an imaginary individual. It's teenage love affair stuff that I wrote off the cuff in the studio. Johnny Marr gave me one of his guitars. He took it out of the case and out came that song. He reckons he's due royalties. You know, we never get to sing it live because Liam won't sing it. He reckons it drags on a bit. He was 19 when you first heard him sing it and he's 35 next year. Well, that dates this interview, doesn't it? There's that line, let me be the one that shines with you. Well, Liam reckons he spontaneously came up with that, but I've got a demo where I clearly can be heard singing it. It's just a fucking tune, man. Now, I don't think there's any specific references in the lyrics here to any other songs or other things. I suppose the first line, now that you're mine, kind of feels similar to me to Baby, Now That I Found You. Just in terms of the sentiment, that song, the big hit for the Foundations. And then the fact that Liam then had a song called Now That I Found You later on, that was clearly a reference to that as well, I think. Musically, the key reference that's been talked about is Cortez the Killer by Neil Young. I think the chord sequence and the general kind of guitar sound is very, very similar. And the last track on the album is Married with Children. The title is inspired by the American sitcom that was a big hit on British TV at the time. And the general story was inspired, once again, by Noel's girlfriend Louise Jones. Talking about the American sitcom, Noel said, I looked at them two in the show, meaning, I suppose, the main two characters, Al and Peggy Bundy. I looked at us two and I thought, that's us, that is.
A horse and carriage, this I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
Apparently, the song was inspired by Louise being kept awake by Noel when he was practicing the guitar. She got fed up and told him, your music's shite. Noel said he had to keep those lines and he wrote the song around it. He said, it's another song that anybody could relate to, because if you live with a girlfriend or just a flatmate, there's always petty things that you hate about them. And this song's just about pettiness.
I hate the books you read and all your friends. Your music's shy, it keeps me up all night There's no need for you to say you're sorry. Goodbye, I'm going home.
Once again, there's not really that many specific references in the song. And the fact is, like, an anti-love song, to me, ties in with Bob Dylan. He wrote quite a lot of anti-love songs, as did John Lennon. We know two big influences. And that line about goodbye, I'm going home. Whenever I think about songs that mention home, I always tend to think of Golden Slumbers by the Beatles. There's lovely sort of reference to going home, to get back home in that, which I think is really fantastic. And also the Simon and Garfunkel song, Homeward Bound. You know, all those references to getting home. Those are the songs that always jump out to me. I don't necessarily think they were specific references here, but just, yeah, as home referencey songs. So anyway, that is Definitely Maybe. All the references, nods to other songs and other sort of cultural things that I picked up. Have I missed any? Do feel free to get in touch and let me know in all the usual places. That'll do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post bonus episodes. Episodes go up early, plus you can qualify for free gifts. Do please follow over on YouTube. Subscribe over there. There's good stuff coming to the YouTube channel all the time. And do give us a follow on social media. Oasis Podcast on Twitter or Oasis Pod on Instagram. All right, thank you very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.